Welcome to a special edition of the Dart Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Jen Coleman. Jen is the Executive Director of the Armstrong Center for Alumni Career Services here at the Darden School of Business, and she and I recently connected to talk more about her background, what led her to Darden, the work she does with ACS, and so much more. As always, if you find this conversation helpful, be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and be sure to check out the show notes for even more ways to stay connected. And now, without further ado, here's my interview with Jen Coleman. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a lovely spring day in Northern Virginia, so.
Yeah, this is a rare week for me. I get to be down here in Charlottesville. I'm here with our executive MBA class of 2024. They are in their final week of school, deep into StratSim right now, which is a thing that Darden students do. It gives them a chance to kind of put some of their knowledge to work here. And so they're doing StratSim right now. Very busy day for them, but it's so much fun to be here with them in their final course, their last week of school before graduation. A sentimental time. I cannot believe they're here at this point. It seems like it just, the time flies by. Where does it go?
Yeah, I just spoke with them earlier this week to talk to them about the resources that are going to be available to them as alums from our center. So,
yeah, yesterday we had a full day, and then there was an event last night, the Black Trailblazers panel, which a number of the students had coordinated. It was a wonderful conversation with a number of Darden alumni. And then we had a reception. The Virginia Gentleman came and sang, which was a real treat for the students. Yeah, and then the big event this week is at King Family Vineyard on Thursday night, where it'll be a time of celebration, maybe a class award or two, some recognition for the students. But yeah, I think of this week as very much like a victory lap for them. You know, they've done all this work, 20 months of school to get to this point. Yes, they have one more 3-credit course standing between them and graduation, but at this point, they've got it pretty well figured out. So
yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Jen, tell us a little bit more about who you are. What's your background and how did you get to your current role?
So in my background, I have a couple of major career transitions, which is part of what inspires me to do this work. I was originally a software engineer before I decided to go back to business school. And I went to Kellogg for my MBA. In fact, my 25-year reunion is in a week and a half, which is insane. But I went back to business school to transition to Wall Street. And I did. And I spent a decade in equities, the majority of which was at Goldman Sachs. And at that time, after 10 years, I decided that I was ready for another major pivot for lots of reasons. But I decided to pivot into higher education. And the dot connection was, you know, going from being on Wall Street to helping students get there themselves. And so that's how I got into career coaching. And that was 15 years ago. And since then, it's just been a different trajectory. And I went from starting out, you know, coaching students to eventually becoming certified in coaching, certified in executive coaching, coaching a much wider swath of people, not just full-time students, but executive students. And then alumni, and I've been coaching alumni now for almost 10 years. So I started at Darden. I'm in my 9th year, and I lead the Center for Alumni Career Services here.
Well, we started around the same time. I'm in my 9th year as well. I did not put that together until this conversation. So
yeah, I don't think I did either. I thought you predated me.
Well, I'll say this. It's interesting to hear your story working in investment banking and you decide to pivot into higher education. I mean, what inspired you? I mean, you could go in a lot of different directions at that point when you say, I want to do something different. How did you land on higher education and coaching in particular?
I have always had education in my blood. You know, my parents were teachers. I've always loved school, not just like the classroom, but the environment of school. It feels like a place where there are limitless possibilities, and there's a lot of really smart people, which I love. And so I had to think about how my skill set could fit in higher education without necessarily being a teacher and going back for a PhD. And so that's how I arrived at career work. And I also loved, one of the things I loved about my job on Wall Street was helping to recruit and mentor the younger folks that were coming behind me. That was something that I always enjoyed. And so I had that in the back of my mind when I chose this path as well.
Yeah, it sort of anticipated the next question that I was going to ask is, had you done much coaching before? Is that something you'd had some experience with?
So 15 years ago, when I started doing this, no, it was informal. And so that's where it's been incumbent upon me over the course of this third now career to continue to evolve my skill set. And so I have pursued education and work to be better at what I do. But at the beginning, when I was working with students who wanted to do what I had been doing, that was sort of enough at the time, if that makes sense.
Totally. I mean, if you're there, you're living it, you've gone through the process yourself, you're on the inside. Makes sense.
Yeah.
As to how you could say, well, this is what you need to do. And then you obviously start working with a broader set of career paths, broader set of backgrounds, and you have to figure out how to work with all these disparate folks.
Yeah. And when you work with alums, I mean, you know, and we will probably dig into this a little more in the conversation, but, you know, when I'm working with alums who are 20, 30 plus years out of Darden, my value is not my knowledge of their particular industry or function. You know, that's not how I add value. They're plenty experienced in their world. You know, where I add value is helping them to unlock their priorities, think about their approach, and depending on exactly what they're trying to achieve from the engagement, I don't necessarily need to bring an expertise in their business.
Big question here, but I wonder if all this time, you mentioned in the past 15 years you've been working as a career coach, do you have a philosophy or a kind of approach that's evolved, or how you think about working with students, alumni, sort of guides your practice?
One is that I think anything's possible. I really do. I think that, you know, the beauty of the MBA is that it is a generalist degree. And so there are so many directions that you can take it. I mean, I use my MBA in higher education as much in higher education as I did when I worked for Goldman Sachs. It's the God's honest truth. And so I just believe that people can work towards change and happiness and fulfillment, wherever that may be, that there's no reason to settle or feel stuck, that lots of things are possible.
I love that idea. And obviously working closely with our executive MBA and part-time MBA students, and also talking with our full-time MBA students here on the podcast, I recognize that people's career goals shift and change around as they're here at Darden, and undoubtedly that continues into their careers. And you're working with people who are in the alumni phase. Maybe some things have changed, interests have evolved. So how do people, you know, work with Alumni Career Services? How does the relationship get started?
Well, most of our alums approach us for one-on-one coaching, which is kind of the bread and butter of what we offer. And we do a couple different types of coaching. We do career or transition coaching, we call it. So that's anywhere from people who are dissatisfied in their job, people who have lost their job, people who are returning from a break or a hiatus, helping these folks to navigate the transition and navigate the search. And then we also offer coaching to alums who, executive coaching for alums that want to address a challenge that they're facing on the job. And so, yeah, alums of all career stages, all industries, all over the world, you know, they will reach a point where they feel like they could use a partner. And that's what we're here for. And then we have other resources as well, but usually it's the coaching that is what brings people in.
And Alumni Career Services is something that all Darden alumni have access to complimentary for life, which is an incredible resource. You mentioned that it starts with this coaching experience, maybe the one-on-one conversation, but there's other things that Alumni Career Services offers. What are some of those things?
So some of our you know, some things worth highlighting. We offer a workshop called the Darden Life Design Lab, which is about helping people work through major career shifts. So for people that are really feeling like they want a big change and aren't sure how, not sure what it will look like and not sure how to get it done, that's what this workshop is about. Something I could have used 15 years ago when I was thinking about a major change myself. We also offer a job search team. So we bring Darden alums together on a biweekly basis to support each other through job search and help each other. We offer lots of programming throughout the year, different fireside chats, different panels on different career topics, networking events. And then we offer some online resources as well, some self-serve resources. We have a robust online catalog of resumes and cover letters and tips and negotiation tips, LinkedIn profile tips, all kinds of things, and a job board, of course.
I loved your point about, you know, anything is possible. And I think sometimes when people are making a transition or looking to make a transition, it can feel kind of overwhelming a little bit. Like there's everything's possible. I know I don't want to do what I'm doing right now, but I'm not sure I know exactly what I want to do next. How do you work with that person to kind of figure out what that next thing might be?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the philosophy that we embrace is one of experimentation and exploration. You know, these kinds of big pivots do not happen on a dime most of the time, right? And so we invite or encourage people to find ways to experiment, find ways to dip your toe in the water on something, whether it's a volunteer opportunity or some robust and constructive conversations with people who are doing the work you're hypothesizing about, a side hustle, research, you know, lots of different ways that you can start to explore so that the transition does not feel rushed or that extreme.
Yeah, I love that point. To me, it resonates with so much of what I hear from our career team generally when they work with current students about, okay, so you know you want to make a change. You want to switch function and or industry. How do you go about figuring out what you want to do next? Well, oftentimes we'll start with a lot of informational networking and just talking to people about what it is that they do, testing ideas that you have about certain companies, certain industries, and seeing what you learn through that research process.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And as you know, as career coaches, you know, we don't have the answer for what's best for you or for someone, right? That comes from within. And so our job is to help unlock that.
Yeah. How does your role evolve? Let's say someone gets started down this path and they start to narrow in on, they think it's this particular industry or maybe this particular company. How does your role evolve as you are working with that person over the course of this journey and they get a little bit further along in the process?
So if they've identified what it is they want to pursue, then our role as the coach will become a little bit more tactical. So it's helping them to put their best foot forward, to present their best candidacy for that particular thing that they're going after. And then that's where some of our expertise and experience of doing this for a really long time comes more into play. It's more of a shifting more from coach to consultant, where we're giving people advice on their resume and, you know, mock interview techniques and tips and compensation negotiation tips, things like that.
Yeah, I was really struck when I first came to Darden. I was talking with our career team that supports our professional degree students. Then it was just executive MBA program way back when. And they were saying that they help with the negotiation process, right? To help you figure out, is it a good offer? Where might there be some flexibility? Let's get some sort of benchmarking going here about how this compares to what you might expect at other companies for similar type roles. I was fascinated by that coming from a law school background. It sounds like it's something you do quite a bit as well.
It is something that we do quite a bit. And it's actually, it's one of my favorite topics with clients, because I feel maybe it's because there's such an immediate tangible value to that work, right? That you, when you help someone get a significant bump in comp, whether it's a new job that, you know, they're negotiating, or maybe it's their current job that they're looking to negotiate their value. It's really exciting when you see someone get what they're looking for. It's very rewarding.
I can imagine that. I mean, if you think about some of the other things, maybe a little bit more abstract, and then something like that is feels very, very real and concrete in a different kind of way. One of the questions we get from prospective students all the time is about the Darden Alumni Network and how responsive it is, and where can these people be found? One of the things I'm sure comes up in your work is Darden alumni must play an important role as people are testing some of these hypotheses and thinking about what's next for them.
Absolutely. They absolutely are. I hear anecdotally, again, you know, all the time, like, the Darden Network has been amazing. You know, the response that I get from alums that I reach out to has been phenomenal. There's no doubt. I think, though, that what I notice is the people who get the most out of the network put the most into it. And it shouldn't, it's like a bank account. In order to withdraw, you have to deposit as well. And so staying engaged, you know, looking for opportunities to get involved and to help, it will pay you back for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that point, because I think a lot of times when people are thinking about this kind of networking, particularly around a job, it starts to sound very transactional to people, right? I'm interested in learning more about what you do because I'm interested in potentially doing something like what you do. And the reality is it's not like that. It's relationship cultivation. You got to invest in that. And yes, it might be the first time that you reach out to that person, but ideally that's a relationship that you're going to hold on to. You're going to keep them posted as you progress. So how do you help people understand what, I mean, by the time people get to being alums, I assume that this is not their first networking experience, but, you know, best practices here evolve, I assume. And, somebody's experience previously may not be what their experience is now. So how do you help people navigate this and help them understand what networking will look like?
Yeah. You're right. Like, the folks that I work with, are alums of the school. They've gone through the really tough networking as a student, you know, where you don't, you feel like you don't have as much value to add. And they, you know, look, with this population, they understand what networking is all about. I think one of the hardest things that our clients face is feeling like they're asking for help again. Like that is a really hard thing to do. It's a vulnerable position. And, you know, so many people, it's not unique to Darden alums. It's true for people in general. You know, you get the eye roll when it comes to networking, like, you know, I got to do this. I got to network again. And the reason why people don't like it is because they feel like they've got their hand out. And you know, so your question, you know, how do we work with people like that is to remind them, like, how would you respond if someone were approaching you? If a fellow Darden alum were approaching you to ask for advice or ask for information, you know, how are you going to feel about that? And if you sort of pivot those tables, sometimes it helps people remember, like, it's okay.
Your point about vulnerability is one I think a lot about when I talk with people here on the podcast, because I think business school pushes you to be vulnerable in ways that perhaps you're not so comfortable being, or you know, you have to ask for help while you're in business school. This is something that comes up a lot with our executive MBA students in particular when we talk here about you can't do everything. You can't be 100% in all phases of your life. You can't do everything by yourself. You have to sometimes recognize your own limits and say, hey, this is not making any sense to me. It's interesting to hear that work continues as people get out into the world. And you know, certainly the career piece, I mean, I can understand why that would be, it can be a difficult conversation, right? You are having to ask people for help, be vulnerable and say, look, I'm between things, or I'm thinking about making a change here. And there's a, may feel like there's a little bit of risk to that, but it's also a very, I think that's typically probably a good place to start those conversations. So, Jen, I'm curious, you know, when you talk with prospective students about alumni career services and the value proposition there, are there things that you highlight as you think about this resource for people who may be considering Darden?
I'm not sure that there are resources I would highlight beyond what I've already talked to you about, but just in general, it really is an incredible resource. You know, we're very lucky that the center is endowed by some very generous alums who started ACS about 25, 30 years ago. And so everything we do is complementary to our degreed alums, and it's very special. And it's well positioned to exist into perpetuity. So it's great.
Well, I'm curious, while we've got you here and we have people who are always interested in career advice, is there something that you would encourage prospective student listeners considering any of our MBA programs to think about as they think about their own career journeys?
I'll reiterate the point about your career is like that bank account. You know, you make deposits and then you are able to take withdrawals, your network. And your network matters forever. And even the people you're working with now, like, even if you change careers, even if you pivot, the people that you've worked with, they know you, they know what you're capable of. They know the value that you can add. And so they're very important. They're very important resource at any point in your career for introductions, for references, like everything. So, you know, never underestimate the importance of your network and networking and yeah. So that's one. The other piece is when you think about the direction you want to go. This is what our life design lab, that workshop that I referenced about, you know, helping you think about major career pivots. Think about your life as a whole, right? It's not just your career in isolation. It's what do you want your life to look like? You know, where do you want to live? What what gives you joy? What motivates you? Do you work to live? Do you live to work? Those are important. That's an important distinction. And I know this from my work, but I also know this from personal experience. I mean, when I was living in New York City and working for an investment bank, I was good at it. I had a long run. I made it work, but it wasn't the life that I wanted to live. And so that created a conflict that was always going to be there and always going to be an issue. I didn't really want to live in New York, and I wanted a different kind of fulfillment from my work. That required a major, major overhaul 10 years down the road. And I don't have any regrets about that, but if you can consider the big picture, it's very helpful.
Yeah, really, that second point is an interesting one to think about. I think oftentimes, I was reflecting on this while you were talking, we think about the career as something almost entirely separate from our lives. Like, it's just a separate question of like, well, what do you want to do, short term, long term? Most people are just kind of thinking about that in a purely career sense rather than a life sense.
For sure. And there's been a lot of focus, you know, since the pandemic. I feel like the pandemic opened people, you know, to this concept of aligning work and life. And, you know, we are careful to use the alignment as opposed to balance, right? Because balance implies it's zero sum, that it's one or the other. And alignment is more a harmonization of these different facets of your life. The pandemic has helped shape people's thinking and maybe soften employers to some of these concepts, but still really important.
Do you find in your work with the Life Design Lab that that's something that people are open to at that point, or it's something they have to kind of come around to? I'm thinking of MBA folks who perhaps have put a lot of energy into work over the course of their career and now having to ask a different question.
I think people, when they come to the workshop, are ready to start to look at some of these things, for sure. I don't think they necessarily need to be convinced. But maybe they haven't taken the time to really think and ideate. I mean, that's what it's all about, is ideating different possibilities.
Yeah, having participated in a brief version of sort of Design Your Life with some of our students, it's really interesting to see. Like, you want to share just a little bit about the framework of what that looks like for people who might not be as familiar, of kind of just some of the questions that you're asking, some of the things that you're asking?
Yeah, so life design is the application of design thinking to a career. And it's life design and not career design, because of what I was saying before, that you ideally want your career to be part of this portfolio or integrated life, not this separate silo that is not necessarily aligned with the life that you want. And so when you think about design thinking techniques, it's collaboration, right? It's involving others, not just alone contemplating, you know, it's talking and involving other people. It's freeform thinking, ideation. So you can imagine odyssey planning and mapping. The term is escaping me right now, but those are some of the techniques that we use.
Yeah, I remember the first time I sort of sat through that. For a period, I thought, man, this is a little bit intimidating, I think, to kind of try to ideate of what you want to do and sort of anything's possible here. I was trying to get started on my ideas. Obviously, I know what I'm doing right now, but sort of to think big picture like that. I found like maybe it's a little bit challenging to kind of get started. Do you ever find that with people, or they maybe need a little bit of a nudge?
Yeah, so absolutely. And I've done this work many times, you know, myself, because I think you have to do it yourself in order to share it with others. And it does get easier. The first time I did it, I was overthinking everything, which is absolutely not the point of design thinking. And any engineer, you know, I come back to my old software engineering days, any engineer knows you can't, or designer, you can't evaluate your ideas as they form, or they'll never go anywhere. You have to be able to just free think, you know, pop, 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 let the ideas flow. And you never know what nugget, when you come back to them a day later, what will kind of stay with you and excite you. You can't be critical of your brainstorming.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. I was listening to a songwriter talk about, you know, writer's block. Like, what is that really? And his contention is that it is more a question of taste. It's not really a question of, like, you're able to write something. You may not like what you're writing, but you're still able to write something. And a lot of it comes from judgment, which I think we can easily get caught up in as we're trying to brainstorm, oh, that's no good. That's not what I really mean, et cetera. Even in something like a life design workshop, that sort of judgment can be hard to set aside.
Yeah. You know, songwriting is an interesting comparison. Like, you know how you hear a songwriter being interviewed and they'll say they wrote this, you know, number one hit in like 5 minutes, right? But it might have taken them years to get to that 5 minutes. I think, you know, I think that's really true. I mean, for me, it took me a year to figure out that I was going to go into higher education. It took me a year of doing my own version of life design. That didn't exist at that time, but thinking about what was the environment that I really was going to thrive in, and what skills could I bring to that environment? It took me a really long time, but once it clicked and once I knew, then it took 3 weeks to get a job. And what I noticed for jobs, a lot of job seekers, is there's a lot of emphasis put on the, you know, the resume and the tactics and the process, the applications. But if you're winging it, if you aren't really clear on the direction you want to go and why, that process can get really drawn out and difficult. So the groundwork is really important.
That's such an interesting point, because I think when people start saying, okay, I want to start applying for things, I want to make a change, you're right. They immediately go to cover letter, resume. Let me look on LinkedIn. Let me see what jobs are out there, what companies, and just start applying. But when they, let's say they get into the interview process, how do you start explaining that this is what you want to do? How do you know that? How can you put together a story of who you are and why this pivot? That gets back to the groundwork piece. Is it hard to get alums comfortable with the idea that a part of this process might actually be quite slow or slower, or could take
very hard?
Yeah.
Very hard. Because usually, and look, I've been there too, but usually when you decide that you want to make a move, it's, you know, you're ready. And the last thing you want to hear is, oh, well, this might take a while. So you have to be thoughtful about, you know, where you are in your situation. If you have quit your job or lost your job and you have bills and kids in college and that, you know, that kind of situation, you don't have time necessarily to life design. You need to get back to a position of strength so that you can then do the life design. But if you do have some runway, as they say, I say that groundwork, that life design, is invaluable.
Well, Jen, thank you for all the advice you shared. I wonder, you have any final thoughts? So you went to an MBA program, graduated from MBA program yourself, obviously very, very decorated career at this point. Any final thoughts for our listeners as they think about their own MBA journeys?
Well, I mean, I can speak a little bit about Darden. I mean, it's such an incredible place and an incredible group of alums. You know, one of the things that I love best about my work is I'm always learning from Darden alums. It's just a wonderful group to work with and be associated with. And one of the things that I notice about Darden alums is they refer to themselves routinely as generalists. And Swiss Army knives is another term I hear a lot. and I think employers love that about Darden alums, that, you know, one of the things that makes Darden alums valuable is their this general business acumen, this ability to see the bigger picture and understand the way the pieces fit together. But that, I just think that's one thing that makes Darden alums unique and makes it a wonderful program.
Well, Jen, I think that's a good thought to end on. Thank you so much for your time today. It was great catching up with you, and thanks for all the work you're doing with Alumni Career Services. It's great to talk about this offering here because it is part of the full career life cycle for Darden students. It continues after graduation with ACS.
That's right. That's right. We work with alums who are transitioning into retirement careers. So it is the full life cycle. Anyway, thank you for having me, Brett. Appreciate it.
And that was my interview with Jen Coleman, Executive Director of the Armstrong Center for Alumni Career Services at Darden. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, @virginia.edu. Till next time, stay safe. Be well, and thanks for listening.